attention. Pour myself a cup of ambition. Yawn and stretch and try to come to life. Jump in the shower and the blood starts pumping. Out on the streets the traffic starts jumping. With folks like me on the job from 9 to 5. Working 9 to 5. What a way to make a living. Barely getting by. It's all taking and no giving. Just use your mind.
Hello.
Hello.
You're late.
My Skype was giving me trouble. It wasn't letting me log in for some reason.
Oh.
I
don't even know what we're going to do in 2014 because they're taking away the recorders. So.
Really?
Yeah, we'll have to find something else to do.
But I thought the recorder was a third-party thing.
It is, but the way Skype implemented it's whatever they're doing, it's not going to be compatible with any of the recorders that are out there now.
Because they don't like people doing this?
I don't know.
So Google Plus it is, huh?
Yeah, it looks like it.
Good, then we can have video.
Yeah, God help us.
Let me drop to actually clean in here. Oh, God.
Oh, God.
I wonder if I can enable video. There's video in this, right?
We can enable video for us, but we can't enable it.
Yeah, to show
anywhere. When we add Micah, you can only do a point-to-point.
Oh, point-to-point video.
But on Google Plus, I think you could do many people.
You can do a Hangout.
Yeah. So how's it going?
Good. It's been a while. Welcome to Geek Brunch.
Yeah.
Episode.
Bill forgot we were recording last week.
Yeah, how did it go?
I didn't record. No, last week, it was weird. Last week was the one where Micah was sick and you were going to record with them.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
Because my nephew was here.
Right. And the week before, I couldn't make it.
You couldn't make it.
And you guys were going to record, but...
And we were going to record, but we said, oh, let's wait. Let's wait for Bill.
We plan these things out well.
Yes.
We're experts.
What number of Geek Brunch are we on, Bill?
It looks like we're on 192.
All right, 192.
Because 191, we killed Columbo.
We killed him? It wasn't Columbo, but I wasn't crazy. It was Beretta. I knew it was a fucker. One of those TV, I
one of those
just TV went down the list. Ironside it.
I know one of those bastards killed someone.
Was it Dragnet? I don't know. Somebody killed their wife.
Maxwell Smart.
Damn. It was Columbo.
No, it was not Columbo. For the record. So what's new with you?
Not much. I haven't been reading a lot, unfortunately. Been working a lot. Not enough reading. I usually read 40 to 50 a week. Now I'm down to like 25. It's sad.
That's pathetic.
It's pathetic.
You're almost down to a normal average human's consumption. You lose your title.
Yeah, it's terrible.
You need to take a day off work where you just read comics all day.
Mm-hmm.
Right. That was refreshing. I've been reading some comics.
What is that noise? What are you doing?
That was my... I'm pouring some Dr. Pepper.
Oh, I was like, wow, it sounded like water running. I was like, refreshing. You record near a sink now? Live from the kitchen.
Live from the kitchen.
This geek brunch.
Yeah, that's fitting.
Yeah. Instead of having a Food Network show, we have a podcast show about cooking, and we'll cook live.
While we talk about comics.
While we talk about comics. What are you putting in those sardines, Bill? Are you washing sardine juice down the drain?
That's a good review, Mike, but I have to interrupt you. I'm now putting the sardines in the... in the flour mixture.
You're breading them?
Breading my sardines.
That's nasty. You gotta deep fry them?
Make them. If you're gonna do that, you would deep fry them.
Ah.
That reminds me, we've been watching what's that show called? Master Chef Kids Version.
Yeah.
With our kids.
Uh-huh.
And they really enjoy it, by the way.
You're trying to turn yourself into a millionaire through your kids.
That's right. See, this is what you need to be doing. Pay attention. Take notes.
My son's not going to be a professional baseball player, so he's going to be a cook. He's going to have a Food Network show.
And of course, the sad part is all of these kids on the show who are like 8 years old can cook better than I can. Anyway, they had one where they were cooking one of the kids cooked some sardines.
And you were like rooting for that kid.
No, I was like, oh, delicious.
You're your hero. You're going to write into the show. Can I get some sardines?
I've never cooked fresh sardines before.
You just eat them right out raw?
Right out of the can, pre-cooked.
Do you eat them on pizza?
I don't think you eat sardines on pizza.
I've heard of people put...
It's anchovies.
Anchovies. What's the difference?
I'm not a big expert on anchovies, so I'm not sure. But I know the anchovies are smaller and they're very salty.
Oh. That's why you don't eat them? Because they're smaller?
No, I just have never... No, I've never been with anyone who wants to try them. One day, I'll be ordering a pizza and someone will be like... We should order anchovies. I'll be like, yes.
Yes.
Finally.
That won't be around me.
And I could order one, I suppose, just for myself with just anchovies. But what if I don't like the anchovies?
I don't know. What do you do?
Then what do I do? I'm still going to have to eat.
I actually think the odds of you liking an anchovy are pretty high.
It's probably true.
Yeah, because you like fish and you like salt.
That's true.
Yeah, so what's
and
not...
I like pizza.
Like, you like pizza.
And if it's bad, I'll just eat through it.
Yeah, eat through it. With a little tear in your eye.
That's right. It's so salty. I hate it.
I think poor Keith was abused. Like, you're going to eat your meal.
You got to finish every bite.
He just sit there crying. Yeah. I don't care if you don't like it. You're going to eat it. It's on your plate.
Yeah, it does sound... Every time he talks about eating food, it does sound like he's crying a little bit inside. Sad. Yeah, so I haven't had anchovies. Someday. One day I will do it.
Micah called and he said he's going to be late.
Did you say, we know, you're already late. Where is he?
He's driving
somewhere?
Yeah, I am, Barb. He's driving, yeah, he was shopping. He was buying some anchovies.
Mm.
He was buying some ingredients for today's show.
Yeah, really, he doesn't even have to change any patterns for our new format. Just on the video camera, because there's always some cooking going on in the background.
You hear all kinds of utensils and water.
Some pans, blenders going. He's just sitting back smiling.
Yeah, that's right. So I hear you went to go see Thor.
I didn't go see Thor.
I know, I just said.
Did you see Thor?
Very seldom do you go see movies on the day they're released.
We're planning on going next weekend.
Well, your kids are all of age. Do they enjoy that kind of thing or not really?
Yeah, they would.
They like science fiction and superhero stuff.
Mostly they like kids stuff, but yeah, they're into superheroes. At least my son is. My daughter probably wouldn't want to go see it, but my son would. I am excited to see it. I like the first one a lot, so I'm sure I'll like the second one. And it seems to be getting good feedback. So
yeah, that's good. I'll wait to talk to about it just in case Mike has seen it. I don't know if he's seen it or not. He probably hasn't. I'll roll the dice and say he hasn't. What comics have you procured or read?
Procured or read? I've procured many, many comics, more than a human being could read in a lifetime, unless they up their number to 100 a week. But I've read some stuff. Let's see. I don't know. I got to look through my stack. Got it stacked up here. Very prepared.
Yeah. You're prepared for podcasting.
I have them all here.
You had your can of sardines, but you didn't bring the comics.
Okay, I got them. Let's see. So we'll start with what I'm enjoying most lately.
And then depress people and go down.
And then go downhill.
That's the way to do a show. You're going to do it in reverse order. I'm going to like get you excited, and then I'm going to bring you down.
I'm going to bring you down and make it be
show. That's awesome.
Can we start? I can start on the bottom of the heap.
Yeah, build this up.
All right, I'll save this one. Okay, the shittiest comic I read this week. Oh, God. No, I only have my good ones. We'll start with this one. So this was an interesting one, which got mixed feedback.
Oh, I hope you bring this up because I want to talk about this.
Some people liked it. Some people hated it. I thought it was good.
But it's on your crappy pile. It's starting at the
bottom. It's on the bottom of the pile. Oh, it's just... Oh, my daughter's poking in. Yes. You're just listening. You can listen.
I'm just going to talk about this comic here.
I'm talking about Pretty Deadly.
I knew it. It's written by Kelly Sue... What's her last name?
Iconic.
And the art is by Emma
Rios,
who you like, right?
I did like the art. It looks very Paul Pope-ish to me.
I didn't see that, but...
Yeah, Paul Pope in there?
I'm not a fan of Paul Pope, but I do like Emma Rios, so I don't know how to say it. I mean, I just committed a sin by saying I don't like Paul Pope, probably.
So this is, this was kind of a weird one because it's kind of, you have to like decipher what the book is about because they don't really give away
much. A hell of a lot. You're kind of along for the ride and you're like, what the fuck? And you have to piece it together.
So it appears to take place in the 20s or something. Is that what it? I don't even know if it says. It's the olden days. It's like a Western about this little girl who's teamed up with this blind old man. Right?
Yeah. I'm listening to you explain it, so I can just sit here and shake my head because
like, whatever.
Well, they tell a lot of the story through a damn poem in the middle of the street, right?
Yeah, I didn't like the...
I didn't like
They told the background of So they're being chased by apparently Death, right?
I would guess that.
Who is this woman who, I don't know. Yeah, this woman who became Death, or she is Death, or something like that. That's the part that's kind of confusing.
Yeah.
But it's focusing on this little girl and this old dude.
Who can shoot pretty damn good for being blind.
Yeah, who's blind. Well, he wears a blindfold, so you assume he's blind, but he seems to have abilities.
Like Daredevil.
Yeah, he's like Daredevil with a blindfold on and scars on his face. And I'm trying to remember more details than that. So they're kind of on. They start off in this town, and I think they're like grifting people or something, aren't they?
Yeah. There's a coin and there's a feather.
They're doing a trick with a coin and a feather. And then there's some hookers.
That'd be funny if somebody like Kelly Sue is listening to this. You're describing her book. She's like, that's not what it's about.
And then some lady comes in and starts shooting people.
Yeah.
And then there's a feather. And then the little girl has a feather. I don't remember where the little girl got her feather from. Yeah. I think Death is like going around collecting feathers.
I think so. And she's on her way to the blind man and the little girl.
Right, because the little girl took something of hers and she wants it back. Is that the gist?
I guess I'm kind of piecing it together as you're...
unfortunately, we haven't recorded in a while, so it's been a while since I read this. So.
Yeah, it's been a while. It's been 2 weeks, 3 weeks since I read it. I only read it because of the... You know how I always sit on shit for quite a while? I read it because I heard it was... I heard some guy tore it in a comic shop because it was so bad.
Right, store owner.
And my mind didn't say, well, I want to read it because it's controversial. My mind said, well, if it's that bad, I got to read it right away so I don't order it for the next 12 months. Right?
Right, you need to know now.
I need to know now, and I'm glad I did because I only have two more issues coming. I cut that off at the source. I didn't like it well enough. I thought the art was pretty, but I thought the story was
too cryptic.
It's not that I didn't understand what was going on. I just didn't like the mechanism for her telling the story.
Yeah.
Like she could have, like, some people might find that fascinating, but I couldn't get into the story because of its choppiness and through a poem, and I just couldn't relate to any of the characters.
So, yeah, I could relate to the characters, but I do prefer when it was just the story being told as opposed to the poems and the...
To the pretentious nature. I like that word.
I think you put words in my mouth, but... Well, yeah, and then the girl... Here, I'm flipping to the page. So she has, like, a piece of paper that she got with the feather, I think, and then she's burning the paper, and he's like, where'd you get this from? And then she stole it from some guy in the town, and he's like, we gotta get out of here. And then they take off, and now they're being chased by Death. Or some girl with a skull painted on her face.
Yeah, see, I liked the way that character looked. Thought it looked awesome, and I liked the way it was drawn. I'm not sure I liked the story, the sequential storytelling of it, but I'll blame that on the writer, not the artist.
Yeah, and then at the end, they end up at this family's home where I think the guy knew the woman, and they go into her house to hide out and get fixed up and stuff. And then I think it ended where they were... Death was coming to the house, right? And they're...
Yeah, the whole story of Death. I forget what her name is. She has a name.
What was her name?
She's riding on a horse. It's kind of like the Johnny Cash song, Death is Riding Towards You. I forget what that song's called.
Death Rides on the Wind.
There you go.
I don't know if that's called. That's the line in this book, though. Maybe that poem is a Johnny Cash song. And now you love the comic. I just blew your mind.
You just blew my mind. Because I do like Johnny Cash. That's my favorite comic. Thank you, Bill.
I'll have to send another email to DCBS. Re-add.
Re-add those books, please. Yeah, I didn't like it. But I'm glad I read it. I'm glad I read it early. I got to start reading those number ones fast because I read another one that I didn't like. Not because it wasn't bad storytelling. It was by Dean Haspel and Mark Waid.
Oh, yeah, I read that.
The Fox, number one. Fox.
Yeah.
I just don't think it had any uniqueness about it that I wanted to read about. It's about a superhero that becomes a superhero just to get more stories because his career is, I guess, not very good.
And, but he's a photographer, right?
He's a photographer that can't get a story, so he has the story come to him. That's his shtick.
And he doesn't have any powers, right?
No, but he seems to have some kind of like foresight. Like, as he's getting punched and stuff, he's like, I could see 20 moves how to get out of this. You know what I mean? Okay. He seems to have some kind of ability. And he's got a nostalgia about him that's kind of interesting because he doesn't use any kind of like digital camera or anything. He's like old school. He like uses he has to develop his film. And his first story is he goes to interview, I guess, somebody that's doing MyFace, which is, I guess, like MySpace or some internet technology. Mm-hmm. And he interviews this beautiful woman. But I guess when her image is caught on film, it's really like a green skull of death. I forget what her name is, Madame Death or Madame Mask, or I don't know what it is. But I thought the art was good. I thought the story was okay. If I wanted to keep reading it, I would, but I want to try to decrease. So it's just one of those that falls in the middle there somewhere for me.
Yeah. And this is published by Archie Comics through the Red Circle line,
mm-hmm.
which is using old heroes, right? Because isn't the Fox like an old...
Yeah, Archie Hero.
Yeah, Archie Hero.
And they even have like in the next issue that the Shield is going to show up, which could change my opinion about everything. And then I'm back on But again, I'm going to pull the trigger on that book.
Yeah, and I was the same way. I liked it, but it didn't really grab me. And it also seemed to be written more for the Archie crowd than a superhero crowd.
Yeah.
Like, it seemed very nostalgic and simple, which I think it was intentionally done that way.
Mm-hmm. And I've liked the Crusaders and stuff through the years. Like, I followed them in Impact, and I followed them on other companies. I did try Mighty Crusaders through Archie that came out about a year ago, and I didn't care for it. You know, the first issue, I did the first issue thing, and so I dropped it. And then I thought, with this one, I saw Mark Waid on it. And I think I've liked Haspel in the past, and I said, I'm going to give it a shot.
Mm-hmm.
But I am not continuing on with the Fox. I'm looking to cut back just because I'm not reading 60 books a week anymore.
Right.
Work is killing me, so I can read what I read and then I podcast and
it takes. Yeah, there's no sense buying 60 books a week if you're not reading them, so.
That's the thing that I have a hard time with, though. God, I just, my brain wants to do it, you know what I mean?
It wants to what? Buy them?
No, it wants to
read 60.
It wants to quit all the books, but I can't. It's like a compulsion. It's like the disease that's behind it. Do you know what I mean? I need to have... And there's no reason. I mean, I try to think logically. It'll always be there. Like, I could always get it downloaded. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
If I find it later, I could always download it. I could always go on my comic shop and order the issue if I really like it. Or I could...
Yeah, but that means...
So many options.
But until that point, there's a hole, and you know there's a hole there.
Yes.
You're just waiting to fill it.
That's the psychological part you're talking about. Uh-huh. The hole.
Because if it's something you want, you know, you want it there in your collection, and there's a hole where it's going to go in your collection, and you know you can get it later.
Yeah.
That just means you're going to be waiting.
And you have to pay more for it later.
Well, that's how you justify it.
And then there's the whole thing about
If I buy it now, I'm actually saving money because it's going to cost more later.
Yeah. But in this case, I'm looking to drop books. I'm not looking to add books. So if I was looking to add books, I'd probably keep the Fox. But I'm looking to drop them, so I'm dropping the Fox.
Dropping the Fox, dropping Pretty Deadly.
Yeah, Pretty Deadly, I didn't like it all. But it could have been the mood I was in when I read it. Like, if you try to read a book like that, like, close to bedtime and you're already sleepy, you had a rough
week. Right, and you have to read a sentence over and over again.
To figure it out. It makes you not like it that much. And then if you read it fresh in the morning, sometimes when your mind is fresh and you're not thinking about all these problems and all this shit, then you absorb that stuff better. So I think it's also a function of when you read something, when your brain is ready to receive that data. Normally I would wait till I feel like reading something, but in this case I heard bad things and I was like, well, if it's really, really bad, I want to cut it like
early. You had to read it before you placed your final order.
Yeah, so I forced myself to read that, like, because I wanted to see if it was as bad as they said it was.
That's really when you enjoy books the most, is when you're forced to read them.
Yeah, I hate it when I'm forced to read something, because I'm not in the mood for it.
Yeah, you got to be. Very rarely is something so good that it can overcome your mood.
Yeah. But I do psychologically, if somebody hates on something, I tend to like it more. So I have this inverse thing. Somebody really hates it, I tend to like it, and I tend to want to like it to say, "Ooh, yeah, I liked it."
Yeah, so you're looking for opportunities
opportunities to like it rather than to hate it. Do you know what I mean? So I'm never going in with a negative attitude. I'm looking forward to liking it, and then it just doesn't pan out. So that was Pretty Deadly in the Fox. What else you got?
I muted myself.
Were you cooking?
No, I accidentally muted myself.
Oh, how do you do that?
Press the button.
Oh, it's not a switch?
No, on this one it's a button.
Well, that sucks. Who designed that shit?
That would be Logitech.
How do you push the button? Is your belly like against the desk and you just push the button, or?
That time I was readjusting and I must have.
What does that mean? Putting my pants on, I'm taking them off.
Look, we don't have to get personal.
I'm taking off my pants to get a little more comfortable.
Well,
accidentally hit the button.
Well, the cord on the headphones keeps rubbing against my zipper. So I had to do something.
Well, now that the pants are off, it'll be your penis. And you'll blame it on your penis.
Well, the pants aren't off, but I ended my zipper a little, so.
Yeah, new button.
So that's much, much more comfortable.
They didn't account for people that had zippers. They didn't have a requirement.
You can't wear pants when you use zippers. Like,
you shall be able to wear pants with a zipper on it while you're recording.
It should have been one of the requirements.
One of the design requirements that you can test to.
Product managers don't know anything.
And then you're the tester, and you're like, how do I test this?
Look at this.
Okay, I got to wear my pants. I got to have my zipper out just enough. It's tucked in.
Here, look at my zipper. Look, right here. Look at this.
Yeah. And you're trying to sell off that requirement in front of people.
Now watch when I open my zipper.
Zip your pants.
You see that? You see that right there?
Only us geeks could have fun with that.
I think meetings much more interesting.
Yes.
Man, I try to avoid all meetings now.
Oh, I do too.
Because their time sucks and they're horrid. And people just like to hear themselves talk.
Yeah, they're very seldom do I go into a meeting where you actually get out of it and you feel like, oh, we took care of those highlights. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
They just create more meetings. It's like Dilbert. It really is.
Yes. There's truth in that comic. So I got another one that I thought was okay, but I know you liked a lot. Which is... what's the title of this thing? Grindhouse. Doors Open at Midnight, number one.
I liked it a lot.
Written by Alex DeCampi. Art by Chris Peterson. And this one is Bee Vixens from Mars, part one. With an awesome Francesco Francavilla cover.
Yes.
So this is a... you should be talking about this one. This is a Grindhouse comic.
Well, the reason I liked it is I have a fondness for Grindhouse movies. Because they have this bizarre nature to them. Where the writer is like, I don't give a fuck. And it just has a bizarreness about it, especially when it comes to... they're usually revenge-type stories of some sort. They're usually have a weirdness to them that you're like, that's bizarre. Or they represent the law and order very weird. And this one was very, very weird. They like nailed these weird cops. I don't even know what the fuck they are, but they're supposedly cops. One cop lives with two lesbians. I guess, they're bisexuals.
Because I think it's his wife and then her friend, her quote-unquote friend.
Well, he lives with them and has sex with both of them, but I guess sometimes he can't get it up unless he has beer. So he has to get... he has to like drink beer to get a hard on, and he goes out to get some beer while the other girls are getting it on with a lot of honey. A lot of bee honey. I don't know where the honey came from. They're getting the nastiness on. There's like tongues and there's honey dripping and it's all over the floor and there's nastiness. It's Grindhouse, baby. And then there's another cop he goes and sees that has a patch on her eye. And she's like a motorcycle cop, and she's got like a sexiness attitude to her. And they don't even act like cops. That's what makes this like a Grindhouse film. They're not like regular cops.
Official cops.
They're like motorcycle gang cops that like patrol it in Mad Max, you know, like Mad Max type cops.
And they're just pounding beers.
Yeah, he has his beers and they're just drinking.
The job.
And they're all like, oh, we better check out that honey hive. There's a lot of honey dripping all over the cemetery. Let's check it out. I mean, it's crazy shit. And that's what I love about it. And the artist does a good job of drawing weird costumes and strangeness that usually watch in these 70s B films. And I loved it. I thought it felt right in. Like, in my wheelhouse, anyway.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and so the whole story is about this. There's this beehive with these crazy bees, and they're attacking people. And I guess it's going to be these cops that are going to... are the main characters.
Yeah, they'll save the day. Either that or the two women.
Yeah, I'm sure the two women will
they'll get it on.
Into it.
Let's bring on the sexual healing. I thought it was great. I have issue two right now. I got to read it, but I got pulled into the infinity. Who was the creative team on that? Do you have it in front of you?
Yeah, it's Alex DeCampi who did the art. Urge story, I'm sorry. And Chris Peterson, I don't know who that is, did the art. And that's a Dark Horse comic.
That didn't have any back matter in it, did it? I don't think it did.
No, I don't think so.
I would have read it if it did.
It had a page, but I think it was just... yeah, there was a one-page back matter.
Well, maybe I had to read it. Maybe I just skipped it.
By the writer. The writer who is a woman, I believe, right?
Have no idea.
I'm pretty sure it's a woman.
Grindhouse. Alex DeCampi. Oh, this database won't tell me if it's a female. Damn it, that column doesn't exist.
A sex column.
What a great cover. Yeah, I'm glad this book exists. And I hope they do more like it that are just bizarre like this. So I have another one that you may have read or may not have read, but it's called Kiss Me Satan by Victor Gershler with art by Juan Fiera.
I think I have that, but I haven't read it yet. Juan Fiera, he did that other Dark Horse book, didn't he?
Did he do Buzzkill?
No, not Buzzkill. Colder?
Oh, I didn't read Colder. I have the trade. I didn't buy the singles.
Okay. I think he's good.
Yeah, he's good. This is like borderline grindhouse horror, but it's more of a serious tone. You got all kinds of craziness. You got like this hitman from hell who is assigned to protect these witches from this werewolf family, because the story revolves around, what do they call them? Lycans? Which are the vampires?
Lithotropes.
Yeah, in New Orleans, lithotropes rule kind of New Orleans. And this one leaf lithotrope is getting ready to have a baby with his wife. So he has like a witch oracle come in, predict how the health of the baby will be and whether it's going to be a werewolf. And the witch basically says, nope, it's going to be healthy, but it'll be a human. And that kind of breaks down the legacy of the lead vampire. Like, he's going to lose his throne because his offspring is not going to be a werewolf. And it's almost like he wants to kill the baby. So the other werewolves won't find out. The one werewolf that was in the room finds out, and he wants to tell the council of werewolves that this is happening, and the lead werewolf kills him off. And then the only ones left are the witches. So there's like a handful of witches that get a death sentence put on them because they know that this guy's baby is not going to be a werewolf.
Yeah, you know, and now that you mention it, I did read this. I forgot it was the werewolf one.
Yeah.
The title, like, throws me off. There's no Satan in it.
No. Well, I think the link to Satan is the hitman. The hitman is I think he's from hell. But an angel from heaven is the one that contracts him out to protect the witches for whatever reason. I don't think we've gotten to the exact reason.
Yeah.
Absolutely loved it. The art is beautiful. I like this guy's art style.
Yeah.
And I've always liked Victor Gershler, so I was very happy with the writing style and the pace.
What has he done?
He did The Shadow, which was off the hook. Okay. Fucking awesome. And then he's done some work for Marvel, I believe, but I just don't remember exactly what. He's done quite a bit of work.
Yeah, I've seen his name before.
I'll look up Kiss Me Satan.
And was he a writer, like a book writer?
I think he was a book. I don't know what book books mean. I don't I don't read books.
Let's see. He's done a bunch of comics, some X-Men, Dracula.
Yeah, he did X-Men for a while. I don't know if it was well regarded. I thought it was okay.
Yeah, he's done some books too.
The Shadow is the one I know him from. But yeah, X-Men and the Shadow. And then some like Spike and Deadpool, which I absolutely can't stand.
Those are your two favorite properties.
Yeah, I need to put that one on the facts of Mike. I absolutely can't stand the Deadpool character.
You know, if you do that, people are going to be, well, did you try? You need to try Deadpool Apocalypse, or you need to try.
Well, I do the facts of Mike on Facebook.
The Living Deadpool.
And one of the biggest threads was the one where I said, man, you know, I can appreciate Doctor Who, but I hate Doctor Who.
Oh, nice.
And everybody just freaks out. Everybody puts sad faces like it's the end of the world. Like, you have to like it.
How can you not like Doctor Who?
How can you not like this bastard?
He's a goofy sci-fi guy.
I was forced to watch it as a child, and I hated it. And then when I tried to get on with Heath Holland, actually, because Heath Holland was a huge Doctor Who guy, and he tried to get me to watch it, and I watched some of it. I hated it.
I think I could watch the old stuff, but I tried to watch the new stuff, and it was too goofy for me.
I don't know what it is. I don't really care. I just want to move on. I don't like
I tried to watch it. I just want to move on.
I give things a chance, right? I mean, I try stuff.
We're busy people.
Get on.
I can't spend 10 hours watching a show in the chance that eventually I'll give in.
Yeah, Vicious will never let anything I don't like anime, and then I try it, and then I hate on it. And then he's like, well, try this.
Right.
I'm like, okay, I'll try it. And I try it. I hate it. I'm like, well, try this. Like I said, I give up. I'm tired. I'm exhausted. I don't want to try this shit anymore.
I've tried it. I always remember Doctor Who from my childhood because it was always on like PBS. And it was always like an old people show.
Well, my dad used to always watch it. And it would end up on... I just wanted to see like 3-2-1 Contact or Sesame Street. I didn't give a shit. I didn't want to see this with a box fucking walking around with a curly haired dude with a scarf. That like bored the shit out of me. I wanted to see my 3-2-1 Contact or Electric Company.
You just want to see Spider-Man.
Yeah, that's right.
Live action Spider-Man.
Never said a word, that Spider-Man. He was like Silent Spider-Man.
Silent Spider-Man.
Easy Reader. I used to like that guy. Wasn't that Morgan Freeman? Wasn't Morgan Freeman Easy Reader?
I don't think I ever watched. We didn't have that, I don't think.
Electric Company?
Oh, we had Electric Company.
Easy Reader came from Electric
Company. Oh, it was part of it? Okay.
Yeah.
I just don't remember it then.
Morgan Freeman was in it.
Once they got to the reading stuff, I just changed the channel.
Reading. You didn't like shadows that would go like, bull, shit, bullshit. You know, they teach you how to word.
Oh, was that one?
Yeah, that was Electric Company. Mr. Rogers, and they'd always go into the Muppet land. Lady Elaine or whatever the heck it was.
Yeah, Land of Make-Believe.
Yeah, they'd spin the damn circular Ferris thing, and then all of a sudden you were in the land of the puppets.
Mm-hmm. Puppet Land, the most wonderful place on earth.
That's right. I like Mr. Rogers. I always took my shoes off when I watched that show.
Put your slippers on, your sweater.
Sweater
vest. Yeah, I like that, and I like Captain Kangaroo a lot.
Oh, yeah, Mr. Green Jeans.
Yeah, Mr. Green Jeans.
I always wanted to have green jeans. What are you mixing spices now? Is that like a salt shaker?
That's right. Now I am putting a little paprika on the sardines. Make sure you use Hungarian paprika because it's much better. It has a smoky undertones. And the woodsy.
That's a lot of paprika. You have a stop.
Yeah, that is the perfect amount of paprika.
Did you hear it? Did you hear it? That's how much he put. That's crazy. Well, Kiss Me Satan gets a thumbs up from me. What do you think? Are you going to try it?
I'm not sure yet. We'll see.
So you're on the fence.
Yeah, I'm on the fence.
You're on the fence with Grindhouse too, huh?
Yeah, I'm not going to get Grindhouse. I'm not as into Grindhouse as you are.
If it was Canadian, you'd be okay.
If it was Canadian, a Canadian Grindhouse.
If it was Canadian and had fish in it, you'd be all over it.
It's a Grindhouse. Grindhouse, eh?
If they were speaking French, then you'd be French like, Canadian. Oh yeah, hell yes.
Oui, oui.
Oui, oui, I'm on this.
Okay, so I got another comic, and this one was awesome. Return to Archie Comics, even.
Oh, yeah, I read this one, too.
Afterlife with Archie by Roberto Aguirre Sub...
Wait, how'd you say that last part? Did you... Sounded like you let some gas out or something. Oh!
Isn't that how you pronounce it?
You're so mad.
Roberto Aguirre Sacasa.
You're watching all those foreign films, man. You just can't get it.
And Francesco Francavilla. Lettering by Jack Morelle. So this is the Archie Zombie comic.
Which cover did you get?
I think the regular one.
Also Francesco Francovilla.
Yeah.
It's got like a zombie head on the cover with the eye open.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I did not get the Peepoy one.
I got the Peepoy. I was happy because you know I'm a Peepoy fan.
Was this one you could specifically pick the cover or not?
Yeah, yeah.
Ah, so you saw the Peepoy and jumped on it.
Archie lets you do that. Like if they have a Fiona Staples cover, you could, and it doesn't cost more. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, I got the Fiona Staples cover for something of theirs.
Yeah.
Yeah, I didn't pay attention to this one. Or maybe I just wanted the Francesco Francavilla.
Well, I mean, how could you turn that down? I just knew I like Peepoy, so.
Yeah. And then there's a Tim Seeley cover, which is just like a close-up of a dog's neck with a dog tag. It's like, really, that's all you could come up with? But who am I to... Well, it looks like you're doing close-ups for all his covers. It's like a theme, I guess.
Yeah.
So this... Well, first off, the artwork, of course, is fantastic. Because Francesco can do no wrong. And it's interesting because he kind of drew the characters in a semi-realistic style. Like, it's halfway between cartoony, like Archie cartoony and realistic.
Yeah.
Which worked really well, I thought. It was interesting to see his take on all the characters. Especially on Jughead.
I think the art was fine. I have a problem with the story a little bit because...
Really?
Yeah. Archie and Jughead don't seem like Archie and Jughead to me.
Okay, I mean, so character-wise. But
it's one thing to read like an Elseworlds, like this is an Elseworlds of these characters.
Mm-hmm.
But to not have the lightheartedness of them, like to... Just have the look of them into this scenario is very different to me. I don't know.
So you're expecting more of the archiness.
The lightheartedness, yeah. And it was more of a serious...
Yeah, they pretty much just did it a straight kids living their lives, and then there's a zombie outbreak.
I would have liked it to be like regular Riverdale with not like serious undertones. Getting attacked by zombies, the zombie piece being the serious part of it, but have the lightheartedness of Riverdale. Do you know what I mean? And then they went and did it, the initial infection through like a Pet Cemetery type scenario with the dog.
Yeah. Yeah, well, that's the whole... So the premise is that Jughead's dog was hit by a car and he brings it to Sabrina... Wanting her to save the dog. And then they use some black magic to try and bring it back to life. And that was a bad idea.
It's almost like, are you watching American Horror Story? Oh, you don't have FX, right?
No, I don't have FX.
Ah, so much like something that's going on in there. It's not a good idea. Bring something back to life.
It's never a good idea. Kids, it's never a good idea.
Don't do it. Don't try it. Don't try it at home.
Actually, I would say try it.
Try it? What are you talking about? Has it ever turned out good? Give me an example.
No, but I mean, that's more interesting for me. So kids, try and bring things back from the dead. God. It's an awesome idea.
All our kid listeners.
Make sure you get on video.
I wonder if we have any kid listeners. Like, I'm talking about under 18. What are the chances of that? I find that slim to none.
I don't think kids under 18 read comics. So.
Well, Mike is 18, right? I mean, he shows up on the show sometimes.
He's 19, I think.
He's 19 now?
He had a birthday, yeah. And, I'm trying, is there any other kids that listen?
I don't think so. I think everybody's over 40.
Well, Keith Cunningham, he's like...
Oh, he's in his
30s. Like 12, isn't he?
No, he's like 12. I don't even know if he listens anymore.
I don't think he does.
I think he left when Heath left. Luke's pretty young. Luke Foster.
Yeah, he's like 20.
No, I think he acts like an 18-year-old. He could be 18. Oh, my daughter. Oh, my daughter. Oh, my daughter, Clementine.
Do you need something? No.
Yes. Right. I want an iPhone, Dad. I want an iPhone. At least you have a good excuse. I don't even have an iPhone. I have this damn flip phone. You can't have an iPhone before I have one.
When I upgrade my flip phone, you can have my old flip phone.
We're just waiting for that technology to become obsolete, man. And you don't have a choice.
Absolutely. No, I guess eventually it will. So I liked this Archie, I guess, better than you did.
I liked it well enough to continue with it. I liked it. I just didn't like...
You just wish there was a lighthearted side to it as
well. I wish that the only time I felt like the character a little bit was Reggie, where they had a couple scenes with him in it, because he's the one that hit the dog.
Right. This must take place in the Life of G universe.
Yeah, which I also stopped getting because of everybody having cancer and buying comic shops. It was bringing me down. So I give it a thumbs up, though. I am going to continue with it.
And I love the coloring in it. Coloring was awesome.
Yeah, it was very
moody.
Moody and dark. Kind of like the Michael Larks when he does art on a crime noir or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
Had those type of colors.
Yeah, bold and...
Yeah.
Lots of dark colors. Lots of blacks. It's good.
It's good.
What else, what do you got?
I got Star Wars. This is the Brian Wood Star Wars. And I must say, like, I never thought, like, I would get into the Star Wars comic very well. But I am so hooked into this. It's like he's continuing right after episode 4.
Mm-hmm.
And everything feels right. Like... He's got all the characters' voices down. Luke is still all whiny and, you know, the young Luke, not mature yet. Han Solo's out doing his thing. They actually... The main theme of the story is there's somebody leaking secrets to the Empire. And they come up with, like, this Rogue Squadron, or this certain squadron that just has what is the main guy? I keep wanting to say Dak, but Dak died in Empire Strikes Back. Who's the guy that survived all of them? Wedge. It has Wedge, like five other pilots, Luke and Leia, and they're trying to uncover who's leaking secrets to the Empire, and they just destroyed Alderaan and all that stuff, and they do a really good job setting that up, making that interesting. And they have Han Solo and Chewbacca going off to this other planet. I can't say the planet's name, but it's Cruisant, or that one planet that's in the new movies where the senators are usually at.
Like Coruscant or something like that?
Coruscant. And they're being hunted by Boba Fett, but they were originally going there to buy stuff, to procure weapons and stuff with lots of money. And Boba Fett's after them, so that makes it interesting. And they escape with some girl that like knows what's going on and is trying to save them but wants money for it. It's kind of like a female Han Solo. He's getting a little bit of his own bullshit pushed on him. So it is really cool. I really, really love that book. Like I want to read the next one. Like I'm anxious to read the next one.
That's cool. I read the first one, but I wasn't really drawn into it. But maybe I need to revisit it because I'm hearing good things. It seems like what I think I heard him in an interview say that he's trying to fill in a lot of the holes that he saw in the like unanswered questions between the movies that he always wondered about himself. So he's kind of like filling in those gaps.
And he does it really good. Like I've heard Brian Wood, like, I don't know if I like want to hang out with Brian Wood because he seems like very against the corporation type thing. Like I've heard him say certain things like, I really care about my stuff, but I don't care about the other stuff. But yet he's like on X-Men and Star Wars and all kinds of other shit. But I think he does care, and I think he does give 100% on this stuff because he does it so well. Like if this is half-assed, I can't imagine what, you know.
Yeah. No, I don't think he's
full attention.
I don't think he's half-assed. I think he likes Star Wars, so. And I think on the Marvel and DC type stuff, I think he just doesn't have a lot of history with it, so he doesn't have any personal connection to it.
Yeah, but he is writing X-Men with all the females in it.
Yeah, that doesn't mean you're not going to do your best at it. So,
well, I think he gets his... It's an opportunity for... Like, anytime you're an indie creator, and if that's like your bread and butter on like DMZ and all the other stuff that you really care about, like the Massive, then... You can lure people in once people buy into the name rather than the the character. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, it's your opportunity to show people what you can do.
Yeah.
A larger audience. So.
Well, that's what you need. So I think he's doing a hell of a job with Star Wars. Like I absolutely love it. Like it is so good. Like you learn a lot about Mon Mothra. Like they just mention her briefly, like in the movies, and I think they show her like twice for like 5 seconds. And she's like a major character in this one. Like she's running things and they have Ackbar as like the security guy. He's like, why are these damn ships flying out of here? I didn't give them authorization. They're like awesome stealth ships. They're like X-Wings that have stealth on them because they're going on these missions that nobody's supposed to know about. But, it is really cool. I can't wait till the next arc starts to see what happens.
What issue are they up to now?
Well, right now, it's crazy because they're getting ready for like a huge fight because the Star Destroyers know where the Rebellion is. Do you know what I mean? So they're like zooming in on that while Luke and Wedge are in the Star Destroyer because they were captured. And Vader knows it's Skywalker now, so it's like they're like blowing shit up from the inside the Star Destroyer and fucking it up from inside because they purposely got captured, and it's really cool stuff. And then I'm reading the Star Wars, and it's nothing like, man, I'm glad that screenplay never saw fruition.
Oh, the original draft?
Yeah, yeah. I'll just say if they did it, it would fall more into the political stuff like that the other movies did.
Mm-hmm.
You know? The characters are totally different. There's
right.
a lot more political undertones than a clear distinction between hero and villain, you know? There's something to be said for simplicity sometimes, at least in storytelling. Sometimes simplicity works better. Sometimes it doesn't.
Yeah, it's interesting that they chose to do that, but I guess I know the original draft is out there because I've read it before. And I'm sure it was just George's first attempt at something, and he wrote that, and then he realized a better story to tell within that. And I don't know the story behind the writing of it, if he'd made all the changes himself, or if someone came in and helped them, or what the deal was, but somehow we ended up with the version we have.
Right.
From that draft. But that happens when you're writing. Things change and stuff doesn't work and you rewrite it. And then sometimes when you rewrite it, you realize things you hadn't realized the first time and come up with better ideas. So.
Right. Well, I think the magic of Star Wars, at least for my generation, because I saw it when I was young, it was very easy to grasp at that age what was going on. Do you know what I mean? And if they put in all this political intrigue,
right.
at my age, I think I was, I don't remember, it was 1977. God. At that age, I wouldn't have grasped all that, and I don't think I would have appreciated it. Like, I remember wanting to see, after I saw Star Wars, it like opened my eyes into science fiction. Like, I wanted more. So I went out,
right.
Watched
Star Trek,
the motion picture. Fucking hated that as a kid. I was like,
yeah,
this is all the
kids hated that one.
This was like V'ger. And you had some bald lady saying V'ger. And I'm like, oh my God, this is the boringest piece of shit I've ever seen. And then I jumped to 2001, A Space Odyssey, which is like mind-blowingly visually awesome. But one of the slowest movies you could possibly watch.
Which one did? What'd you say?
2001: A Space Odyssey.
Oh. You went to see that as a kid?
I saw it as a kid.
Oh man.
Yeah.
I don't remember. I must have seen it pretty early because it's been a long time since I saw it. But yeah, I remember the first time I saw it, I was like. Whoa.
But it was actually me seeking out stuff just because of Star Wars. You
just
know,
liked
what I mean?
It
was like,
yeah.
Where can I get this shit? Battlestar Galactica filled some of that, like in the TV show. Absolutely love Battlestar Galactica, like. And as much as I like the new Battlestar Galactica, I miss the old. Because the old was kind of like straightforward. There was no religious undertones, at least that I could foresee. This one got into like really like gods, and the Cylons weren't quite the Cylons.
Yeah, when did the first Battlestar come out? Because I remember seeing that in the theater.
I think it was 70. I think it was around the same time frame. We can IMDb it.
Yeah, and I don't know if I saw it on its first release. Or it seems like back when we were kids, they brought movies back to the theater. Because I know the first time I saw Star Wars was when it was brought back. Like, it was right around when Empire came out, they released Star Wars again in the theaters.
Well, you're a little younger than me, but I saw it at the theater. And
no, I mean, it was at the theater.
Yeah, but you said they might have been on a re-release.
Yeah, but it was like, I remember when Empire came out, they brought out Star Wars again, like at the same time.
1978, so it was a year later, the movie. I thought the Battlestar Galactica, no, I did see Battlestar Galactica at the theaters, because I remember it was the second movie in the drive-in.
Yeah, I saw that in the theater.
TV, but.
No, I saw that in the theater for sure.
That I want to watch again. I think I have that. I probably won't like it as much, but it was interesting. I'd like to do that for the Retrocast. Go back and revisit my fond memories.
Your childhood memories? Your childhood sci-fi memories?
Still hold up.
Speaking of Battlestar Galactica, did you read the Battlestar Galactica from Dynamite?
I did.
By Abnett and Lanning?
Yes. I thought it was pretty good. I'm sticking with it.
Yeah, I enjoyed it as well. It's weird reading it because it's like stuff I know already, you know what I mean? Or it's a world that I'm already well familiar with, so it's kind of... it's not introducing me to a new world in any sense, so it's something that I already know about. But I liked the setup of this one.
Yeah, the characters feel like Starbuck and stuff, and Apollo, and...
it's the classic...
it's characters. The classic characters. You have Boxy and... what's Daggett? And Adama. Mm-hmm. And yeah, it's good stuff. And this one has it's a little bit similar to the Star Wars one, but not nearly as complex or as well done, because it focuses on those prototype Vipers, right?
Mm-hmm.
That could shift in time, like they can time flux.
Yeah, they have time shifting capabilities,
like a time warp capability. But it is pretty cool. I'm not caught up on it. Like, did you just read number one or what?
Yeah, just number one.
Yeah, I'm probably like three issues behind on it.
Because, well, number one means one shot, right?
No, it's an ongoing.
Number one shot.
Number one shot. Well, you didn't get any kind of conclusion there.
To be continued.
Oh. In another one shot, when the trade comes out. Yeah, I do like Battlestar Galactica. I watched the entire new one and I liked it. I was looking through DVDs yesterday at Target, and there's another Battlestar Galactica movie that I don't know if it was on Sci-Fi or released afterwards or what, but it's Blood and Chrome. Did you see that one?
I don't think I saw it, but it's familiar.
Yeah, it's from 2012.
And I know they had one.
I've never seen it.
They had one movie, which is like a prequel type movie, I thought.
I'm trying to find out if it was released. Oh yeah, it was also aired as a television movie on Sci-Fi.
But I don't think that has any of the TV show characters in it, does it? Or maybe a couple.
Well, it's a prequel. It's got William Adama. It's like the young pilot graduated from the academy, and he assigned to the most powerful battle stars in the Colonial fleet. So it takes place during the first Cylon War, but it's a prequel series to Capria and prequel to Battlestar Galactica. But it falls in the new... I think it falls into the new Battlestar Galactica time frame. You know what I mean?
Right. Prequel. Yeah, it's prequel.
It's not the prequel to our Battlestar Galactica as kids.
I used to have the Battlestar Galactica action figures.
Do you still have them?
No.
I have a Cylon in the basement. It's about 12 inches tall.
Oh, I didn't have the
video. And it has a battery where the visor,
Yeah, I remember that one.
Yeah, I have that one.
I remember the commercials.
And I have, what was the Cylon ship? I know the Viper, but what was the Cylon ship? I can't remember what those are called. I have one of those that shoots.
Yeah, I had one of those.
And I have the illegal one before they took it away, the one that was poking kids' eyes out because it would shoot the missile too far.
The too powerful of
springs. Yeah, too powerful springs. They're awesome. I think I have a Viper too. So I don't. And those ships, they only come with like really tiny figures. Like they're about.
Right, they weren't full size.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, I think I did have both of them. And then I know I had a Daggett action figure.
I never did. But you know what? Those figures are worth a lot. There weren't a lot produced. So like if you have like the Buck Rogers or the Battlestar Galactica ones, I think they're worth quite a bit. If you have them in the the card, of course.
Mine were not kept on the card.
My early toys not kept on the card, but then after I realized that toys are worth money, then I kept everything on the card, which is
bad. All the stuff that's worth a lot of money is not on the card, and then the stuff that's not worth anything is on.
It's on the card. There you go.
That's the way to do it.
It's this awesome strategy, Bill. It allows you to keep stuff because your wife's like, that ain't worth shit. See, and you can just accumulate it.
Yes, I have many of those things.
So any other comics? You're working your way to like, oh my God, this is like...
I haven't got to the ones...
Bee's knees.
Yeah, but, I'll go...
What the fuck does that mean?
The bee's knees?
Yeah. Does it have anything to do with that Grindhouse book we read?
I think so. Because the bee... Did you notice the knees of the bees in the comic?
No, I didn't, but now I want to go back and read it.
The bees. Yeah, I don't know what the...
I don't know how that word is.
Reading Micah.
Yeah, Micah knows these things. He's only 18, but he knows all these facts.
Well, kids these days are very well informed because they have the internet. We didn't have that when we were kids.
Yeah.
We had Commodores. That's right. We rode basic on Commodores.
We rode our games, man. We didn't have no cartridge. We had to write our own damn games.
And I remember our first screen. I think our first one was an amber screen. And then we had a green one.
I had the monochrome green one.
Yeah, we had the first one I think we had was an amber, monochrome amber, like orange. And then the next one we got was the green one.
But they would let us cut loose on that. Like, my parents did not a code or whatever, and we subscribed to some kind of like code magazine.
Which I remember those.
Tell you to write how to write games and stuff.
And you had to type in all the. You had to copy it from the magazine.
Yeah, there was no scanners then. You'd have to write every line of code and compile it.
Download the program from anywhere. You had to type it in.
Google, like, why isn't this shit working?
And then it wouldn't work. Yeah, it wouldn't work, and you'd have to like try and figure out what character you got wrong.
Those are awesome.
I remember that. What magazine was that from?
I don't remember, but you got the same magazine I did because that's where you would. That was the value in like using your system, like because you'd learn all these different things.
Yeah.
You'd learn to code your own games, like your own word games and stuff like that. And then once you learned how it was done, you could do your own. You know what I mean? You could make your own scenarios and stuff. Do you want to go left or you want to go right? Go left.
And then you get bored of it halfway through.
Yeah. And then they had that huge floppy drive on the Commodore, right?
Yeah, you could get the first thing we had was the tape drive.
I didn't have the tape drive. I had the
tape drive sucks because you got to play like a tape for like half an hour to load the program.
they had some games that were there, you know, that you could buy and stuff like that.
Yeah, we had a couple of games. I think we had Load Runner.
I think I had Larry Bird versus Dr. J or something. And some kind of Lemmings game and another cave game. I don't remember what the hell it was. Like you were a cave explorer.
I know we had Load Runner, then we had... There's some other game that I really liked a lot. I don't remember what that was. I should try and figure out what that was. I liked Load Runner a lot, though.
kids today. They just go buy it and then they play it. We have to write our own damn games. They were only as good as the guy who was writing them.
Okay, I got a couple books here.
All right.
I'll go through them quickly. Death Sentence number one from Titan Comics.
Oh, shit. That was a 5 out of 5 for me.
I gave it a 4 out of 5.
Loved it.
And I only gave it a 4 out of 5. I like the story. So the story is that there's this virus going around that once you contract it, it's a sexually transmitted disease that once you contract it, you only have 6 months left to live, but you get some kind of a superhuman ability.
And just for you listeners that are kids, you sexually transmitted means you get it from fucking.
Thanks. This has been your sex education for the day. And kids, on the second page, there's some tribbing. So if you want to learn about that. So in the story, you're introduced to, was it three characters?
Yeah, it's three characters. Two of them I think you get to know a little bit better than the other one. There's a rock star.
Yeah, there's the rock star who is just wants to, he doesn't care that he has it, and he doesn't care about spreading it.
But he's also in a failing, like, his producers and stuff are just kind of like dangling him out there because of his popularity, but his talent is going to the shit.
Yeah, it seems like he put out like one good album and now he can't recreate it.
But he still has a following because of that one album.
Right, like, right. So they want him to make another album, but he sucks. But then he gets this disease and it looks like he's just going to have fun with it.
Yeah, he's always fucking women and stuff like that. The other character I found more interesting, the female one.
Yeah, she's the strongest, I think.
Because she seems like she's like an everyday, she's the everyday person that goes to work in a 9-to-5 job. I think she's like a reporter of some type or something. And she contracts the disease. And I think she's the more relatable one because the other guy is more like a media star too, right?
Yeah, the third guy is like, he seems like takeoff on Russell Brand.
Yeah.
Where he talks a lot and thinks highly of himself.
And he's also doing a lot of fucking.
Yep. There's a running theme in this book. Except for the girl. I think that's why. Those two characters seem very similar to me, the rock star and then the media mogul guy.
Yeah, they are similar. At least similar attitudes. One of them is more grounded. The other guy is like sex, drugs, and rock and roll, and I don't give a shit. And he doesn't care. He doesn't care that he can't really do anything anymore. He's on a downward spiral. And isn't somebody after him? Like, somebody goes to try to kill him, and he, like, phases through the wall or something like that?
Yeah, he jumped out the window. Well, that's... Yeah, I'm trying to think of... I don't remember who was after him.
Somebody's after him, and they try to kill him. They come into the room, they try to kill him, and he jumps out the window. And instead of, like, landing on the pavement, he does a kiddie pride, and he, like, phases through it.
Right, and it swims in the...
And then it's kind of like swims back up.
Back
to get oxygen. But you were talking about the premise. I don't think we talked about like what this disease does to you.
I said that it... Well, what about it?
Oh, that it gave you powers?
Right, yeah, it gives you some kind of powers. You don't know what they're going to be, but at some point, it gives you powers before it kills you.
You have like 60 days to live or 30 days.
I thought it was 6 months.
Oh, was it that long?
I thought it was.
I'm decreasing the life cycle.
And let's see if I can find it. No, it doesn't say. It's called G+. Yeah, 6 months. G plus is a fatal virus transmitted through unprotected sexual activity.
Like fucking.
Such as, yes, anal intercourse. Infected, that will not keep you safe, kids.
We're teaching a lot of kids out there. This is like sex criminals, man. Teaching kids.
Teaching you.
So they don't struggle with it when they see colors when they have sex.
They'll understand it. When they phase through the ground.
When time stops. They won't think it's weird.
And then, so doesn't the girl get like pulled into a study of some sort?
Yeah, they find out that she's got it, and then they try to like capture her, and she's like, "Fuck this shit." And her ability
is, right, cause that, is it kind of like supposedly like the government's trying to collect the people who are getting power so they don't go crazy?
Yeah, it's like a CDC, I think. You know, like, yeah. What the fuck's going on? They find her, they try to find out more about it, and she's like, I ain't gonna have this. She knows she's dying. She wants to be free. She doesn't want to be in a jail cell. And her power manifests, and she could, like, blow shit up. So she, like, pretty much blows up the whole room that she's in and kills everybody that's in the room. Except for herself.
Yeah, I liked it. I enjoyed it. So, like I said, the only reason I wouldn't give it a 5 out of 5 is because those two characters are similar and they're not really likable. So, which could change.
I think they weren't likable, but they were necessary. I think, especially the rock star, because he doesn't give a shit.
Right. It'll be interesting to see what happens with those characters. So.
Yeah, issue 2 is out. So.
Okay. And this was covers and script by Monte Nero. That's his whole name. And art by Mike Dowling. And the covers are actually, he must be like a painter or something, because it's like a digitally painted cover.
It's a very cool cover. I like the art.
Yeah, it's interesting that he did the covers and wrote it, but didn't draw the interior. Maybe he just does. Maybe, yeah, but I mean, he's probably just a painter and not a sequential artist. So, But I enjoyed it, and there's a lot of back matter too, where he's explaining how he came up with the story and stuff. So that was interesting. Some sketches, preliminary sketches, and then I've one more, Velvet number one from Image Comics.
I read that one too.
Which is the new Brubaker Steve Epting story. This is about this character, Velvet. I can't remember her last name, Brubaker or something. Well, probably not Brubaker. That would be very creative. Who, she is a, not a personal assistant, I guess, to this spy, this hidden covert spy ring.
She's like a secretarial staff, but she's like more to it. There's more to her.
Yeah.
Because she has an ability to remember everything. Like,
well, she's very smart. Has a photographic memory.
Yeah.
And as you find out, she has abilities that she's been hiding from people. So we don't know the full story behind her, but it's almost like she's a spy within the spy organization. And I mean, it's Brubaker and Epting, so it was well written, and the art was awesome. So,
yeah, I liked it a lot. I'm glad I read that one. It was really good.
I really like the coloring in this one too. It was very dark and it stood out. I guess it stood out. I definitely noticed the coloring, which was, I guess I should say who did the coloring, Elizabeth Brett Weiser. Good stuff.
Yes, I liked it quite a bit. So I have a couple more. Captain America, I just read this morning. This was the Remender series in Dimension Z with Zola. And Man, I absolutely love his Captain America. He spent 12 years in this alternate universe, and he kind of like raised one of Zola's son as his own. And Zola's like controls this whole universe, and he enslaves the populace of this world and turns them into these ravaging beasts that worship him and do everything he says. And it's kind of like a dictator society, and Captain America's the rebel. And anyway, they go to escape. The son gets killed, so Cap feels like he lost a son because he ended up raising this kid. And then the daughter of Zola, who's called Jet Black, who's like one of my favorite new characters. Like, well, she might exist before. I got to do research, but she's fucking awesome. She's Zola's daughter. And he ends up convincing her that what Zola's doing is wrong, and she turns good. But she's kind of like a Big Barda character, like, you know, like if Big Barda was working for Darkseid. And that's why I think I like Jet Black so much. But they end up escaping. Sharon Carter comes into this world and ends up shooting the kid and kills the boy. And he's like, oh, fuck. So that's like an oh shit moment. And then they escape. And in order to escape, Sharon Carter has to sacrifice her life in Dimension Z. So he loses Sharon. But now he's back on Earth and he's fighting Nuke, who's another super soldier. But this journey is just amazing. And the one thing I like is the art by Romita Jr. really felt Kirby-ish. Like, it really felt like I was reading a Kirby book or a Bronze Age book. And then we switched to another artist. Let me see who the other artist is. Carlos Pacheco. And he has like he does like a Bronze Age type style to it that I really loved. The book to me feels like a Bronze Age book right now, and that's why I love it so much. Like when Jack Kirby was doing Cap back in the day. That's what it feels like to me. And man, there's so much other stuff to talk about, but I wanted to ask you if you read Rat Queens. I don't remember if we talked about that or not.
We talked about the first one, yeah, and that was one of my my last ones are two ongoings: Rat Queens #2 and Todd the Ugliest Kid #6.
Oh, well, let's talk about those briefly because I've read them too. And Rat Queens, I'm still liking a hell of a lot.
I really like the second issue.
I really like the characters. Like, they're all distinctively different. You know what I mean? They all have personalities. They all have, like, these groups that were troublemakers that were assigned to do stuff. And all the groups are getting taken out by this unknown entity, and they think it's the mayor, right? I mean, that's what the Rat Queens think, at least.
Right, they think it's... They think that the mayor was behind it. Mm-hmm. So there's all these, and it's weird because there's these teams of like warriors for hire, I guess. And there's like four people on each team, and most of them got wiped out. And so this issue starts with the Rat Queens trying to figure out what's going on, and they end up helping this other team who is in the middle of this fight. Actually, they finish their fight first, don't they?
And
then
yeah.
They go on to find these other people.
When they find that in the second issue, and they fight that huge troll, like, that's awesome.
Yeah, that was awesome.
Because that little troll girl, she uses like knives to like work her way up to the troll's face and then take out his eyes. And then she like pulls the eyes out with the swords, and she's like, "Well, you could use these for your spells later on." You know, she's the one that can do magic. And then they have the one that could heal, which is awesome. They have a healer in the group, which is a good thing to have if you're in this occupation of fighting.
Well, because doesn't it start off this the one warrior girl, she's like, "I'll take this guy," and she jumps at, or no, she tries to do a spell.
Yeah.
And then the troll grabs her arm and just like snaps it in half.
Yeah, she loses her entire arm.
Gruesome fashion.
And they like to drink like nobody's business.
Yeah, then after they do all this fighting, they just go to a bar and get hammered.
And then they go to the mayor's office all drunk, and then the one guy's like, why don't you come back in the morning when you sober up? It is fun. The art is, like, awesome, isn't it?
Awesome.
I mean, the guy's sequential storytelling is, like, fantastic. The it's definitely dynamic, isn't it? Like, you can sense the movement.
Yeah, he does a real good job. And I like his faces, too. So much detail into the faces.
Yeah.
That's good. Yeah, the action's awesome. And there's lots of blood, too.
Mm-hmm.
And there's that one, and the characters are interesting. Because there was that one, when they went to that other team, there was that one woman, she was just like this big, I don't know what she was. Incredible Hulk-looking woman.
Yeah. She almost died, the big one.
Yeah.
She, I guess there was another team of four, and only two of them survived. And she was on her death, like, she was getting ready to die. And the healer came and saved her life. It is a great book. I mean, if I didn't do all those image number ones, I would have never, like, just based on premise, because it's almost in that, like, fantasy realm.
Fantasy, yeah.
I would have ruled it out, and I wouldn't have done it. And it's I would have missed out, because, man, that's a good read.
Yeah, and it's unlike some of Curtis Wiebe's other work. It's not cloaked in mystery and the unknown.
Right.
It's more in your face. It's in your face action and excitement and adventure and.
Yeah, I like Wiebe. I just stopped The Green Wake. Like, I really loved his other one. So I don't know. I don't get Panzerfaust either, so I think he's batting
every other one.
He's batting a 500 for me. Perfect. It's a good batting average.
Yep. That's funny. What was the other one that you liked?
Oh, Todd?
Curtis Wiebe did.
Something about Grim Leaper.
Oh, right.
I love that.
That's weird, because you're like, either hate his stuff or love his stuff.
Yes, I mean, when his stuff is like 5 out of 5s, or it's stuff that I like try it and then I don't want to read it anymore.
Yeah.
Green Wake was just a little too weird, but I still have some issues of that, and I kind of want to say, well, because didn't that have Rossimo art? I can't remember.
I believe it did.
I like Rossimo art, so...
Yeah, I like Green Wake was good, but it was going on for a long time without any resolution.
Yeah,
or at least after the first arc, I didn't really know much more than I knew at the beginning of the arc.
Mm-hmm. And Todd, the Ugliest Kid on Earth. This one takes place right after the Comic-Con.
Mm-hmm.
And. He's still, the one cop is still trying to get a black cop into the organization. He's just weird, man. That guy is just fucking insane.
He's a racist.
And then that one father is terrible, because he's got this demonic table, and then he buys a Jesus Christ and all these things. And he puts them on the table. And then the kids in the closet. These are Todd's like friends, right?
Yeah, but Todd is disguised as the actress's daughter.
Yeah, because the actress's daughter got consumed by the table.
Yeah, this got taken to hell or whatever.
Yeah, and I guess she seemed like sexually active, didn't she? Because she was like even flirting with Todd at one point.
Yeah.
So. I think she like scheduled something like with these two dudes. Like they came over and they were gonna play that thing in the closet where you go in the closet.
7 minutes in heaven, or something.
Yeah, 7 minutes in heaven, and
yeah, because they thought Todd was a girl.
They thought Todd was a girl, and Todd's pretending to be the girl because the father's making him. Mm-hmm. And then they're in the closet. It's all dark. They're taking off their shirts, and they're like, "Oh yeah, you're getting your boobies and stuff, and all this stuff." And then they grab underneath the dress, and there's balls. And they're like, "Ah!" And they're running out of the closet, like, "Oh my god!" I sent 7 minutes of heaven.
And then the funniest part was Todd's last line. He's like, "Whoa, that game is weird."
Yeah, that game is weird. Yeah, it's a book that I laugh at, and it's hard to for me to laugh at something and when I read it. But this is hilarious from issue to issue. Love the art. And then they have that TV repairman with the robot dog that comes in towards the end. What is the wife doing?
I think she's going to get plastic surgery from a doctor who's in a dumpster.
That's right. She shows up at the office, and we're like, "We don't have this doctor here. He was let go a long time ago."
And then she's walking out, and
he's in the alleyway. He's going, "Psst, psst." Jesus Christ. This book is just all kinds of insane. It would really work as an animated, Adult Swim, because it's just so bizarre. I think it would capture.
Yeah, there were.
It's so different.
There was talk about doing that, so we'll see if it actually makes it through.
Yeah, I love it. It's
great. And then a Groucho Marx guy is the marksman, right, or something like that.
Yeah, he's that TV repairman guy, the marksman.
Yeah,
it is weird. And let's see. I just want to mention a couple. I got all caught up on Valiant, and Bloodshot is my favorite right now. I'm loving it. They had the Matt Kent number zero issue.
Mm-hmm.
It was brilliant. It gave so much backstory into that.
Cool.
And then they teamed him up with Hardcore. Are you reading that?
I get it in trade, so.
Oh god, it's great.
Caught up.
It's great. And then Quantum and Woody just came out with a trade you should get if you like them.
I didn't really care for the first.
Oh, you didn't care for them? That book has a lot of humor to it. Lot. In the second issue, they were like, it's so funny because the cops are shooting at them and they're like buck naked. just two naked dudes running around the whole issue. It was hilarious.
Did they do the cheap first trade on that one?
Yeah. I think they do it for all of them.
Yeah, maybe I'll
it just came out because I double dip on all that shit, and then maybe I got the deluxe art cover on EXO, and Chris Campbell sent me the Unity convention preview, which gave gave the preview that they're showing in the monthly issues, but it adds 8 more pages, and man, it's good. It's gonna be so damn good. Well, it's got Matt Kent. How could it not be good? I don't know.
What's he doing now?
He's going to do Unity.
Okay, that's right. He's doing Unity.
And then you had mentioned, I think, in our last episode, I'm almost 100% sure you mentioned this. You talked about Eternal Warrior. That was
Eternal Warrior.
Really good. Eternal Warrior art was so great, and you got the essence of how he's been fighting wars throughout time, and
mm-hmm.
and then it gets really uncomfortable, and the part that really got disturbed me is that he's fighting this race, and then he has this daughter, and she's just all kinds of creepy, dude. I mean, she's like a warrior, but then she kills her brother and she doesn't give a shit, and I don't know, there's something really bizarre about her. It makes me feel kind of uncomfortable. There's an uncomfortable note there.
I know the first trade of that is solicited this month.
In the Harbinger stuff, it's really, really good. Archer and Armstrong's kind of gone on the decline for me with the last story arc.
Is it still Van Lente or
yeah,
they switching writers?
I like the redacted villain because he it's very humorous. And they're kind of in a world where there's aliens and dinosaurs and stuff, kind of like the Unity world.
Mm-hmm.
And that part's interesting. I
guess it's still Van Monte.
I just don't like. Yeah, it is. I just don't care for like the overall story, I guess, and it doesn't flow as well from when they cut from Archer and then they go to talk to Armstrong. It's not as well. And it's like Armstrong slept with the girl that he loves, you know, Archer loves. So he's like all pissed off, and he kind of like left. But the books are all great. The one that I had a heart, like I loved when it started, and then it just went off the rails for me with Shadow Man.
Yeah, that's the only one I don't get. That's the one that's getting a new writer, Shadow Man.
Yeah, so I'm looking for
it. Thank God. I might pick it up again. Peter Milligan's going to be writing it.
And I usually like Peter Milligan. Like,
yeah.
He's pretty damn good.
Yeah, I'm just going to pretend the old Shadow Man didn't exist. The other Shadow Man didn't exist. Maybe they'll just relaunch. Maybe this will be a relaunch of Shadow Man.
Yeah. Let me just see if there's any other 5 out of 5s I haven't talked about. Red Sonja continues to be like a 5 out of 5 for me. I really, really am loving that.
The Gail Simone one?
Yeah. Did you decide to stay on to Zero? I don't remember if you read it or not. That was an Image book.
No, I didn't. I'm not a big fan of his writing.
Number 2 was great. I really dug it. That was a 5 out of 5 for me. Yeah. Oh, I want to talk a little bit about Buzzkill, number 2. I think you might get the trade, right?
Yeah, I'll get the trade.
But they added another like little niche to the story that I thought was brilliant. Mm. It's like, depending on what drug he does or what he's influenced with, like in this one, it's like if he's on nicotine, he could like see through shit. Like he could see more. And
so it's more than just the drinking?
Yeah, he's in that like counseling, the AA meeting, right? And he's fucking, they're like giving him coffee and he's just getting on caffeine. And he's like, why the fuck are you a robot? You know how that went? Robot? He's like, why the fuck are you a robot? And then all hell breaks loose. It's awesome. But I think last time I told you I wasn't crazy about the art, but I think the art style is like fucking growing on me. Like I for this book, the art is like great.
Yeah, maybe you're like in a weird state of mind when you read the first one, because I really liked the art in the first one.
Yeah, it was good. But Buzzkill was one I didn't even know I ordered, and glad that I ordered it. So, yeah, that's pretty much all in the comics I think I want to talk about. I read a lot more, but
yeah,
seems like I've been in the I did get one Kickstarter called Tabula Rasa, and the other part had like a had like a stripper on the, and said adults only. It was like a Grindhouse one. It was a flip book, and it was pretty damn good. I really enjoyed it. Yeah. It was a Kickstarter I was really happy with. I think it's one of those things that's like a yearly project. You know what I mean?
Yeah, why'd you do that one? Just because it was Grindhouse?
Well, it was Grindhouse, so they sold me on the Grindhouse, right? And then I read it, and I was happy with it, because the two stories are very distinctively different. One feels more Grindhouse than the other, the one with the prison and the girls in it and stuff. The other one feels more like, kind of like Kiss Me Satan, where it's about vampires and stuff. But it feels a little more grounded. It's good stuff. I was happy with that Kickstarter. I still haven't gotten my Molly Danger.
Yep, me neither.
I'm just going to sigh here.
I think we'll probably get the second printing.
Good thing I'm not Keith Knutson. I'd throw a tantrum.
Hey, did you ever read that Screwed comic?
No, not yet. Was it good?
I only read the first one, but they're soliciting the trade, so I was just curious of it.
I've been reading Grim Fairy Tales No Tomorrow. That one I like because it's kind of like Final Destination. It's about death. Like, how do you outrun death? And it's got like a personal thing with, because Raven Gregory just lost his wife and stuff. So it's got like really dark undertones, but I like the pacing of the story. I like what they're doing with it. And then the other one I'm caught up on Xenoscope wise is Hit List, and I think that one's brilliant. There's two books called Hit. There's Hit from Boom.
Yeah, I read Hit, but I didn't read Hit List.
Hit List. And they're both quality books. Like they're books that I have to continue with. They're good stuff. Hit from Boom is really good.
Are you reading Satellite Sam?
I haven't. I'm buying it. but for me, I'm not. There's no like. I have to read it now because it's got Chaykin. And to me, like Chaykin art, I just love. Like, very few times, like, you know, we've talked about this a thousand times. Very few times do I flock to an artist, but there's certain artists that the story could be absolutely shit, and I don't give a crap. And Howard Chaykin's one of them. Like, I just love his art. So,
yeah, I read the first one of that, and I enjoyed it. So, I see the trade is solicited. So. There's a lot of good stuff this preview.
Yeah, I ordered a weird comic. It's almost like magazine style. It's from Art of Fiction Publishing. It was called Five Color Comics.
Okay.
I'm giving it a high grade, like a 4 out of 5, just for presentation. It's freaking brilliant. The paper, the art, the weird stories are great. The stories are kind of weird, but it feels like something out of like Bronze Age or like in the horror sci-fi realm. And I enjoyed it. Like if they ever come out with the next one, I'll be all over it. So Art of Fiction is a company that I'll at least look at their stuff. They have a couple of crime books out that I get. And that's a company that I will buy stuff from. Usually sight unseen. I read Century West. That was kind of a weird book. That's a Howard Chaykin one.
Was that a one, like a graphic novel, right?
Yeah, it was a graphic novel. Yeah, I enjoyed that. It was paced. Like I think it would have been like phenomenal if it was more like a monthly series that could flesh out like some of it. Because it's an interesting time. It's like between the Wild Wild West and when technology starts to come into play, like cars and stuff like that.
Yeah.
It's like fascinating stuff, but they don't like get into a lot of it. They're just like skimming the surface because it's a graphic novel and they have to complete it in like 50 some pages, right? But it's a world that if the demand was there, they could have made it an ongoing like Vertigo title or something, and I would have been all over it because it's just fascinating. He gets a lot into racism at the time, you know, like he delves into it. It's pretty interesting.
I wonder if they were planning on seeing how it does to see if there's enough interest to make it into an ongoing.
Yeah. Don't know. But it was good stuff. So, any TV or that you've been watching?
TV, yes. What have I been watching? Let's see. Why don't you start?
Okay, TV.
I'll figure out what I'm watching.
I've been watching Walking Dead, and this season's pretty, like, it's good because it's a show that captivates 100% of my attention, and that's hard to do for TV. Like comics, I have no problem with. Like when I'm reading a comic, I'm 100% into it unless I'm sleepy. But when I'm watching TV, I'll like have my phone with me and I'll be Googling and all kinds of shit. And when Walking Dead's on, I don't do that. Like I'm into the show, and it gets me stressed. Like, and that's a good thing, because it has very tense moments. And man, I wish I could talk about it, but there's some crazy shit happening. They did something that I've never seen in the comic before, and I thought it was really interesting. The other show that I'm almost caught up, and I'm one episode behind, is American Horror Story: The Coven, which I think is brilliant, focuses on witches. Mm-hmm. And they're getting a lot into the voodoo. Like it's almost like the voodoo sect has a thing against the witches, and the witches sect has a thing against the voodoo sect. And man, it's just, it is crazy. They've already killed off characters that I was like, wow, you know, they did that. They did bring somebody back to life, and that wasn't a good idea. But that show continues to be amazing. Always Sunny. They had a Lethal Weapon. Lethal Weapon 7 or Lethal Weapon 6 making of the movie with the Always Sunny guys. And it was probably the funniest episode I've ever seen of Always Sunny in Philadelphia. I literally couldn't breathe during a couple of those scenes. They do Mac up like he's Danny Glover, and he's black, and mm-hmm. they have a shower scene where him and Mel Gibson character were in there, and they're in the shower, and the black is actually getting washed off. It's so funny. It's hilarious. And after that point, they switch. So now Mac and Dennis they switch characters. You know, now Dennis is the Danny Glover character, and the other one's Mel Gibson. It's fucking ridiculous. That show I like to watch a lot. And then I started getting back into the Star Wars, the Clone Wars, which are really good. I think this is the final season, and I just need to finish watching it. They get into the new Jedi, like the Jedi kids. I forget they call them. Padawans or whatever. Mm-hmm. They're learning to build lightsabers and stuff like that. And they have that pirate guy that's been in the show forever actually try to steal the kids and take their jewels, which they actually make the lightsabers. It's really fascinating because you learn how lightsabers are made this season, and they never got into that shit. That's cool. Movies. Yeah. And he's out to steal those, and I don't know, it's really fascinating. It there's some great shit in that cartoon. And I've been watching Comic Book Man. That's the last one I watched. They still haven't got to the Baltimore Comic Con episode yet.
Did you see C2E2?
They were at. What do you mean? Did I do C2E2?
Did they do it on the show?
No, not yet.
Oh wait, maybe were they at the show? No, I'm thinking of the other. I'm thinking of the
toy guy.
The toy guy, yeah.
I think they did Toy Hunter and C2E2.
See, these are all shows I'm gonna have to catch up on.
Yeah, you're always watching things a year later, right? And
DVD, yes.
Yeah.
A year behind on everything. Except for network.
So any shows that you want to talk about?
There's a couple of the new sitcoms that I've been watching that are okay. I like... what was that? ABC has a few that I'm watching, like that. There's that Trophy Wife show and that Goldberg show. I like both of those. I think I like Trophy Wife. I like because there's a few actresses on it who I'm a fan of.
Uh-huh.
So I'm enjoying that. And the premise of that one is it's a dude who is on his third wife, but he's still friends with all his wives, which is a stupid premise, but the actors are all good on it. That's why it works. And there's a couple kids on there who are really good too. So I think the casting works on that show. And then the Goldbergs is the one where that takes place in the 80s, which also has a woman I'm blanking on her name, but she was on Reno 911. I'm blanking on her name, but she's good. And then there's a kid on that show that's good too. He has this weird, like, crackly, froggy type voice, which is this high pitched voice. He's funny. So that one's okay. And then I've been watching Brooklyn 911, which if you don't like Adam Sandberg, you probably wouldn't like it. But it has good good supporting cast, so I like it. And it has, what's his face?
What is it called? 911?
Now, I don't remember. Brooklyn Nine-Nine, that's what it's called.
Nine-Nine. I saw the pilot, and I thought it was pretty good, but I have so much shit on my DVR, I just didn't think it was worth, like, watching it.
Yeah, because you have so many other things to watch.
Yeah, I'm still in Clone Wars. That's from last fucking year, so I'm like... I tend to, like, watch the horror stuff. Like, I'm caught up in Walking Dead, Bates Motel.
Yeah.
You know, all the stuff that I don't know. I guess those are the shows that I navigate to. ABC's back on our dish now, and S.H.I.E.L.D. is coming out. But, like, I have no desire to watch it.
Yeah, we kind of watch S.H.I.E.L.D., but not really. The sitcoms I like just because those are the ones that I watch while I'm doing other things.
Mm-hmm.
So when we're sitting there on the computer and we want something in the background, we put on a sitcom. And Brooklyn Nine-Nine has Andre Brower, so you can't go wrong with Andre Brower. And then in DVD watching, I just finished watching the first season of Hannibal.
Oh.
Which at first I wasn't too into it, but by the end I'm totally into it now. It hooked me.
Did that get continued or?
Yeah, it's supposed to come back in 2014, in the early part of the year, I think. I thought it had gotten canceled, but I guess it's still coming back. That's good though. They went to interesting places with it, so I'm into it. And they show some gruesome stuff. Now, granted, I was watching the DVD where they had the uncut episodes, but still some pretty gruesome stuff in there. Awesome.
that one is in the horror genre, and I think I'd be interested in that one too. I just didn't jump on. I think we recorded Dracula, but I didn't watch it.
Okay. Yeah, we didn't watch that one.
Yeah, I still haven't gotten back to that drug one. What is that one called? Where they're doing hair? What's that noise? Is that like the oven or timing?
That's a car alarm.
Oh, you better go check it.
My wife just got home, so.
Oh.
That's my early warning system.
Oh, so you know when everybody's coming in?
Yeah, time to put the pants on.
I gotta put the zipper up now. I can't have my zipper down and be on the computer.
I'm podcasting.
I am not looking at...
Don't come in.
I'm not looking at porn. I'm not. I just don't want to hit the mute button. That's the only reason. Like, that's going to fly.
Honestly.
Why do you have sardines out and your pants are down?
Why is there paprika everywhere?
How do you explain that?
Well, my cord hits my fly. How's this noise? I was just doing some research for the show.
So now we got movies. Did you watch anything?
I watched an awesome movie last night, and it's one that I'm not sure how I ended up getting it, but I must have read something about it. It's called Europa Report.
Never heard of that.
I know, neither had I until it showed up in my box at the library.
It doesn't show up in your box at the library just magically. I mean,
no, I put a hold on it. That's it. I don't remember. I must have read something about it at some point. But I really liked it. It came out in 2013. I don't know if it came to the theaters or not. Because if it did, I guess it did, but it must have been it doesn't look like it was a very big, it didn't do well in the theaters, so it must have been a very small release. But anyway, so it's the story is about, well, first off, it's filmed in a kind of...
In Canada?
No.
Okay, you just usually watch Canadian.
Oh, yeah, it's not Canadian. It's a. It has an international team though. Like
oh, it is sci-fi.
Yeah, it's sci-fi. What? The main one of the main characters is Michael Nyquist, who was the guy in the what's it called?
Did it come at the theater?
I think it was only. I think it did, but only like in a small release. I don't
so
think it.
So it kind of failed at the theater.
I don't know if it failed or it
just made a small release. Like
yeah, not had a full release, just a limited release. So Michael Nyquist is the guy who's in the Dragon Tattoo movies, the original version, and he was in the last Mission Impossible movie. But anyway, so it's an interesting concept. The story is about this team of six astronauts who go on the first mission to Europa, which is one of Jupiter's moons, which is covered in ice. And then they found out, I don't know if this is true or not, but they found out there's water underneath the ice. So their mission is to go there, get a sample of the water, because where there's water, there's probably signs of life. So they're trying to find signs of life on Europa. And it's filmed in kind of a realistic style, kind of like a what's that movie called? Paranormal Activity style, where it's shot, it's showing video from different cameras that were on the ship. They're playing it back.
Mm-hmm.
Because at the beginning of it, you find out that something went wrong on this trip, and partway through the trip, they lost communication. Earth lost communication with the ship. So they weren't getting the videos anymore. But then they say now they have the videos, so they're showing it. They're showing these videos from the ship. So it's kind of like a Blair Witch type thing, except with no running around and stuff. But it's all film. It's all. It seems very real because it's just showing these videos from on board the ship and the people working on the ship. So it starts out them on this mission. And it's a big deal because it takes place like in our reality, where the farthest we've gone is the moon. So this is the first ship going past the moon and the first people who are ever going out that far into space. So they go to this place and they eventually land on Europa, and then it kind of show, you know, bad stuff happens after that. But it was really, really good. I really enjoyed it. I thought it was excellent.
Sounds interesting. One of the movies I liked as a kid growing up, well, not as a kid, but a teenager, I guess, is Outland with Sean Connery. And they were on a Io, you know, the moon of Jupiter as well.
Yeah.
And it was like a murder mystery in space. I really liked it. And this sounds like it's something in that vein, at least the exploratory part of it, you know. Yeah. They found water, and that's kind of like what they were doing in Outland. They were trying to find a way for us to colonize some other place because Earth was going to pot, you know?
Was that the one where they had, like, a big setup on the planet?
Yeah. Well, I mean, they had a big, like...
Mining thing?
Mining facility, yeah.
Yeah, okay. Yeah, I remember that one. Yeah, this is different, though, because this is, like, our first time ever there.
Yeah.
And it's really fly on the wall type stuff, because you're just kind of observing these people doing all this stuff. But it was really good. I really enjoyed it. I recommend.
I didn't watch anything except for Thor. I can't think of another movie I watched. Trying to think of one, but I watched Thor, and it is really good. It's got like a. The guy who plays Loki is just phenomenal. Tom Huddleston or whatever his name is.
Yeah, I think that's it.
He's phenomenal. I mean, he really is. He was great in Avengers. He was great in the first Thor. And now you get to see him again. And he's just great. I love the Warriors 3. I think they're great. I love the Lady Sif, you know, the actress that plays her.
Do the Warriors 3 play a bigger part in this one?
They kind of do. I don't want to give
them. Do they show more of them?
But it involves the Dark Elves. You know, that one guy that was in the Simonson run, Malachi. I can't remember the one Dark Elf. It involves him in his war with Asgard. And the Warriors play. Hogan doesn't play much of a part. He's like at the beginning, and then he has to stay behind on his people because the nine worlds are merging, and he kind of stays behind. But the other two, I can never remember. You know, Volstagg, and I can't ever remember the other one's name. Fendril? I can't remember his name, but they kind of play into the plot a lot. And so does the keeper of the Rainbow Bridge, Hamadol. So yeah, it's
yeah. I knew he played a bigger role.
He plays a bigger role than any of the others, and it's definitely one of those movies that links into other Marvel movies if you stay past the credits, you know. This one has two things, so you gotta like stay halfway, see that one, and then everybody left, but there's something after the movie as well. So you gotta stay twice to everything.
Yeah, I heard there was something at the end.
Yeah, one of them's pretty important, I mean, towards where they're going in these movies, so the other one's kind of just like, oh, that's cool, you know?
Yeah.
That's all right. It's a good plot. The special effects are great. A lot of sci-fi element. Like, they have cool ships and lasers and stuff. You know, those Dark Elves. The scenery of Asgard is pretty amazing.
Mm-hmm.
So it's. I think everybody yeah, will like it. If you like the first one, if you like Avengers, if you like... You'll like this movie. They still have that girl that was in the first one that's kind of like the comic relief, you know, to Jane Foster.
Yeah.
Yeah, she does a really good job. She's pretty funny in this one. She wasn't – in the first one, she was kind of annoying to me, but in this one, she was hilarious to me. So.
She grew on you.
Yeah, she grew on me. You had another one. You said you watched two movies, I thought.
Did I? I don't remember. You ever see the movie Insidious?
Yes, that's an awesome movie.
I liked it up until the end. I didn't like the end.
Once they
went to the other world, I thought it was stupid.
Yeah, it was pretty scary up front, though.
Yeah, I loved it up to that point. I wish they had a better payoff. I loved all the haunted house stuff and the weird freaky creatures and the seance and stuff. That was all awesome.
Mm-hmm.
But then once he went to the other world, it seemed like a made-for-TV movie.
Well, that generated a sequel. I forget what the sequel's called. The Conjuring, maybe? that's already on DVD as well.
Yeah, I think I might have that one on hold. And then I saw Now You See Me.
Yeah, that one I wanted to see.
That one... I liked it, except the end reveal I didn't care for. It seemed like a movie where they could have gone different ways and they just kind of tacked on the ending.
Hmm.
To me. But before that, I enjoyed it.
So what you're saying is you like how the first issues start and you just don't want to finish them.
Right. I like the start of stories, but then...
I see a theme here.
That's why I'm... yeah, it's true.
So if you ever write a comic, there's not going to be any damn conclusion.
Of three issues and then three out of four issues.
You're just going to leave it there?
And I'll say, hey, your ending's probably better than mine, so...
So I'm not going to finish it.
I'm not going to bother finishing it. I don't want to let you down, so... There you go.
All right, that's it for the movies. You got any brunch items you want to talk about? What are you guys eating for? It's almost dinner time for you, I guess.
It's maybe 3 o'clock.
What did you eat for breakfast?
For breakfast, I had... So, I've been making food in my crock pot lately because I'm on a crock pot kick.
I've never heard anybody use crock pot for breakfast. Unless it was oatmeal or something.
No, so one of the things I've been making is baked beans.
For breakfast?
Well, I'm trying out these different recipes for baked beans. And yesterday I tried one, and it cooked all day yesterday, and I had it last night, and then I had some for breakfast. Because baked beans is a traditional breakfast food in England, right? Countries like England. So I had, beans? So for breakfast, what?
Beans?
Baked beans.
For breakfast, it's an English thing?
Yeah, baked beans.
You want to start off with gas?
Keeps it going for the day. Look, if it works for Keith, so.
Your poor kids. Yeah. Can we have some cereal, Daddy? No. I got a scoop of beans for you. Sit down and have some baked beans for breakfast. I want cereal. No.
Yeah. Have some baked beans in your cereal.
Instead of milk, we'll put some baked beans in there.
So I've been having baked beans. My latest one, it was baked beans made with maple syrup.
Ah.
They weren't as good as the first recipe. The first recipe used molasses, so it was better.
That sounds better. It sounds sweeter. Maple syrup has got like a weird taste to it.
I love it.
I think it sinks in your pores.
Of your mouth? Your mouth pores?
No, your it's face. Not skin.
Oh, your skin.
Yeah.
So you don't even have to eat it. You just put your finger in it. Like bees, honey.
There was somebody I worked with, and I could swear she smelled like maple.
All day long?
All day long. And all I could think of is if she had like maple oatmeal. You know how they sell that? Oatmeal with maple in it?
Yeah, you can have maple syrup oatmeal.
That's the only thing I could think of.
Well, she could have pancakes with maple syrup, too.
Could.
Or she would have baked beans.
Have it all the time. And
it could be, well, you know, when you have baked beans made with maple syrup, then your gas kind of smells a little maple syrup.
Oh, no.
Throughout the day. So I hate to tell you, but that wasn't coming from her pores.
Oh, no, it's coming from her ass. That's the title of the episode, Baked Beans. Baked Beans.
She's like, she releases one, silent one. You're like,
oh, Lord.
Did you have
maple for breakfast? So did you have lunch or do you skip lunch? Because you had all those beans for breakfast.
I just had I had lunch. I just had a vegetarian chick patty for lunch. Quick lunch.
In bread or just the patty?
In a bun.
Okay. Put lettuce or tomato on it?
Some lettuce, some tomato, a little mayo.
Mayo? So you like the mayo?
I like mayo.
Keith wouldn't like that.
He only likes mayo when it's mixed with something.
Like tartar sauce.
Yeah, if it has something in it. We can put I do put a little paprika in my...
You put it in everything.
And then I also made... what the hell did I make? Something else in the crock pot. Oh, we made... it was a stew made with seitan.
Oh, seitan.
Satan! Satan stew. That was good.
It has like 666s in it. Like pastas that are in the shape of 666s. Yeah,
you got to pick out just the sixes.
It's like vegetable stew with Satan in it. And it has like noodles that say 666. Have some Satan. Satan stew. I made it in the crock pot. A little bit of hell in your stomach.
Make sure you get 3 noodles on each bite.
Yeah. Lucifer special coming right up. Mistopheles. Come have your stew. So, I haven't had anything. I went to a new fad is kind of like restaurants that do bread, like, you know, Panera and... I forget what this place is called. It's like begins with a B. It might be a chain place, but I had a chicken salad sandwich, and it was pretty good, except there wasn't that much chicken. And it was the first chicken salad sandwich I had that used water chestnuts. Very unusual, but it worked.
Yeah, that would work.
Yeah. I like those places. They're just expensive. You spend like $11 on a meal, you know, just to have lunch.
Yeah.
To get a drink, a salad, and a sandwich, you're spending $11. But their pastries look good. I just didn't eat any. I wanted to, but I was full. I ate a lot of popcorn yesterday at Thor. I don't eat butter anymore. Popcorn, though. Any of that butter stuff? I used to like butter the shit. I'd say extra butter, put it in there, and
keep going.
Now I don't.
I'll tell you when.
Now I like it just as well without butter, so I'm good.
It's already loaded down with enough butter and salt and.
Yeah, I didn't need to have liquid in my popcorn.
I like a little bit on the top.
Yeah.
Just tease me with a little on the top, I say.
I don't like it when my pants get all buttery. So
just squirt a little bit on there.
Yeah, just a little bit.
A little squirt.
Yeah, don't fully ejaculate on. just put a little.
Just let a little bit out.
Just for the pre-cum.
Just drip it on there.
Well, I guess Micah got caught in traffic.
I know.
Seriously. And he wasn't able to join us.
He apologizes.
He apologizes. He'll probably listen to this and say, yeah, I could have answered all those damn questions.
Yep, he's yelling out all the proper names for things that were...
You incompetent old dudes.
Damn old men.
And we get worse with every passing year.
I know, we'll be like, I read a book by, what's that company... Yeah, what's the M?
And then I try to say it, and I'm like, I don't remember.
That's Meticulous, I think it's called. Meticulous Comics.
Remember back in my day.
You're like, but Kirby was the best.
I'll never forget Kirby. I think that'll be the last thing to go.
On your deathbed. You'll never forget.
Yeah.
Kirby. I did pick up a Kirby Collector issue that was about his writing.
Was it a recent one or an older one?
A recent one.
I probably have it. I just haven't gotten to it yet. Was it the big one or the one that's like magazine size?
Magazine size.
Ah, because Kirby Collector used to be huge.
I read a bunch of it. It was interesting. One interesting thing so the cover is this like robot face, like this exposed robot face, and then inside they have a scan of a reprint or like a cover of a magazine or whatever it appeared on.
Mm-hmm.
And on the cover they have like a scan of the actual art. And they look completely different because the ink has faded over time.
Yeah.
The colors are completely different. And the original looks so much better than the than how it looks now. Well, obviously, because the colors have all changed over time. Like the blues disappeared.
Mm-hmm.
It's interesting.
Well, I will send us off and... Since Mike is not here, you can tweet him at @do_what and say, why didn't you show up? We got to come up with a better way of doing these last-minute emails, like a Saturday morning,
an hour Friday before.
Night. It's like a Friday night at 3 a.m. we send out an email. Are we meeting? We got to do it earlier. Just say, let's try to do it every time at 11, you know, or 12:30 Central.
Yeah.
And then whoever shows up, you know. So @do_what at Twitter. Bill is @DBM00. I'm @MikeMyersBrunch. You can follow us on Facebook by searching for Geek Space Brunch Space Podcast and then clicking the like button. And then you'll get all the episode status updates and anything else we post in there, including retro stuff. You could go to Forum for Geeks and scroll down to Geek Brunch Podcast and check the episode thread out there. And our emails are Mike, Micah, and Bill at comicbooknoise.com. And our website is geekbrunchpodcast.com. I think that's it. Leave an iTunes review. Right.
Yes.
Please. Get us to 25, damn it. Come on, we can get there. You can do it. You can be the 25th. iTunes review. The magic 25. And if you have a way to record after the 2014, send us an email because we might not be recording.
We'll figure out an alternate way.
Yeah, Micah probably would know right off the hand. I even had somebody post on my wall. I guess he's another podcaster, and he's like, "What are you guys gonna do?" Because I got like a warning, you know, like a pop-up on Skype that said, "This won't be supported any longer."
Really? You know? I wonder what. So what's Pre-May gonna do? They're like, that's their whole business model.
I have no idea.
Interesting.
All right. Well, we'll talk to you and have a good week or weeks. And I'll talk to you in 2 weeks.
All right.
All right. Bye-bye.
Bye.